Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Aaron, are you there?
Mass confusion.
Yeah, it's like the Ghostbusters crew just showed up.
I'm here.
Hey, Gary B. So let me say that again. So, end of the game, your pitcher throws a strike down the middle. The batter purposely puts his elbow over the plate to get hit by the pitch. The umpire calls it against you guys, blah, blah, blah. You lose. Is it baseball right. protocol to throw at the guy the next game or no?
No. Hopefully you're, getting, hopefully if that's the case. I haven't seen the play. I didn't see the ending to the game. But, hopefully – in that situation, it's a strike, and you get that call.
No, what you do, I was trying to tell Craig, but he needed you to explain
it. Well, I mean,
it
was a strike, but they didn't get the call,
Conforto. No, you don't. What Aaron does, and I've seen you do it well, right. is you go out there and you rip Ron Culpa a new one. That's what you do. And then, yeah, you're upset about it, but you don't go drill the hitter who happened to get hit by a pitch.
Right, no.
Well, I grew up in the 70s.
That's frowned upon.
I throw right at him the next game because it's poor sportsmanship.
Aaron, let's get down to brass tacks. Is Aaron Judge hurt? What's going on?
I'm hoping not. Today will be a day of treatment. We actually got to Tampa at about 4 in the morning. We got to our hotel last night about 4 in the morning. So we have a training, our training room essentially set up here at our hotel. So a number of guys are going in late today and into the evening, and Aaron's one of those guys that'll be obviously getting treatment. So I really don't have anything more at this point than where we were yesterday. So hopefully he can be back in there tomorrow, but we'll see. We'll see what the trainers say and see where Aaron is heading into tonight and then tomorrow.
He was hitting the snot out of the ball. He was 3-for-5 in that last game against Baltimore before he didn't play in the series capper. Did he feel something on a swing? Was it in the outfield? Is there a moment when he came in and said something?
Nothing specific. There wasn't like a specific he did something. I think it's really just kind of the wear and tear of the first several games and, taking a lot of swings and, being out there a lot. And I think it's just something that, has kind of come on for him. So, again, I don't want to get too – far down the road on it. Well, I want to see where he's at tonight and tomorrow morning, and we'll see where we are, and hopefully we get him back in the lineup.
Are you concerned it has anything to do with the oblique?
Well, I'm always concerned. Anytime one of our, I hold out one of our players because I'm worried about him physically, especially when we're talking about Aaron, I mean, obviously one of the best players in the sport. So, I'm hopeful that it's not a big deal, and obviously he was playing very well up to the point of holding them out yesterday. So we'll just see where we're at going into tomorrow.
So last thing on Judge, because there's other stuff to get to. You took him out of the game early in the blowout win against Baltimore, and now of course he sits out the game. Was there something prior to the game 2 days ago where you were worried, or you just pulled him out because you're up by so much?
Yeah, I pulled him out after 7. I took Glaber out in the ninth. I'll do that typically throughout the year when we have some score leverage and it's kind of a way, if I can steal a few innings here for our guys that are out there, obviously a lot, I'll try to do that from time to time.
Well, I know it drives fans nuts, and sometimes it drives me nuts, depending on the player, but I totally get now sitting Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge basically once or twice a week. I mean, even when Giancarlo sat on Sunday, I'm sure you're not checking out Yankee Twitter to see people's reactions, but there's this, what's going on? It's the third game of the year. I get it because of the injury concerns over the last few years. So is that a plan moving forward with both guys to...
No. Yeah. I wouldn't say going forward. I would say more in the month of April, you know, and really trying to be cautious a little bit with all our guys in the first month, where obviously it's a little cooler. And, you know, for most of our guys, especially our regulars, you know, they had a pretty good workload in spring training where they were playing. You know, they got a lot of innings in, and but still, you know, you're in spring training and you're playing, you know, at best 2 and 3 games in a row at 7, 8 innings. Occasionally, maybe somebody completes a game, and then all of a sudden you're out of the chute where, you know, a lot's on the line, the adrenaline, and you're playing these 9-inning games every single day in the cold. I think it's just important that, you know, the buildup, you know, it's the same way with pitchers. As you continue to kind of build them up in the early days, it's why you have, you know, a couple more off days typically in the month of April, you know, all trying to just build these guys up to a point to when, you know, then we get into May and June where they're more, then it's more, you know, they may roll out there 8, 9, 10 in a row. You're still going to have their off days here and there, but I would say it's more of an April thing for me.
Talking to Aaron Boone as we do every week here on the Fan, Carton and Roberts. Let's go to Gary Sanchez. Did you speak to him after the game about, you know, kind of lollygagging to first base on the ball that's not caught and left? Were you disappointed that he didn't run full out there? And what's your take on it now, you know, 12 hours later?
Right. I spoke during the game and after the game with him about it, yes. The one to left obviously doesn't look good, but it was more the one where, you know, he almost got forced at second, where he just right. took for granted that he was going to get to second. The one to left, like, look, we should always be running and going, but there's a ton of guys, myself probably even included at times, you hit that ball and you know you crushed it and you know it's probably getting caught by the left fielder, and you're almost like body language. You're trying to body language it right. away from him. And I think he just shut it down when he thought he caught it and didn't realize it got away. I think the coincidental thing about it is if he doesn't slow down, he's probably out going to second because he's running for a double. So, look, you got to run, no question about it. Don't take things for granted, and it's a good lesson. But it was, for me, it was more about the first one.
Right. I agree with you, by the way.
Making sure you're getting
there. Think, and listen, it's a bad look, and it's, you know, fans hate it, especially right. when they're, you know, always ready to get on a guy, and he's right now in that spot. I think if he tries to make it a double, because the left fielder threw a dot to second base.
Yeah, after misjudging him,
I think he's out by 5 feet.
Yeah.
I do.
Right.
And Tauchman scores anyway. But it was a bad look for a guy that, you know, the fan base can't afford bad looks. That's all.
Yeah, I hear you.
On the previous play, which is when Urshela hit a base hit to right and he was almost thrown out at second base, what was, out of curiosity, what was his response to that and what was he doing? Because on the base hit, my assumption was Gary's not the fastest guy in the world. You know, maybe he just got a bad jump. What was the explanation for what happened on that play?
So Gio smoked it.
Right.
He hit it hard to right, basically like a 1-2 hopper right at the right fielder. So it's one of those plays right away as a runner, and especially a runner with not a lot of speed, you know you're not going to be able to go first to third there. So you know you're just getting to second. So I think he just took that a little bit for granted and kind of coasted a little bit in the second, kind of put his head down a little bit. So, you know, that's the one where you can't take that for granted. You got to get there and then make the adjustment or be in a position if it, you know, skips away to be able to take an extra base.
Talking to Aaron Boone, you know the next guy we're going to bring up. I assume he's probably down on himself right now. How could he not be? And that's Glaber. Mm-hmm. Where are you with him? And is there, I know you said after the spring you thought that you saw a guy that had bettered himself defensively. Is it a fluke 6 games in, or is it something that's a problem that, you know, you've seen something mechanically or mentally, or how do you walk Yankee fans through his struggles defensively right now?
I think the biggest thing for him is to remain aggressive right now on defense because, you know, when you've had a couple of mistakes or, you know, especially, you know, a high-profile miscue, the tendency is to get a little passive and to, you know, make sure you're not making a mistake. And that's the thing we got to guard against. We got to make sure he's playing aggressive and fearless and really lean on all the work that he's done. You know, if you watched all our games or and obviously you guys didn't watch all our games in spring, but all the work, like he's in such a better place defensively and he had such a good spring as far as just movements, range, making the routine play, you know, and now he's had a couple of hiccups here to start the season. And, you know, the one thing I would say is a couple things really going for Glaber, and I've passed this along to him, is one, he's a great player. And two, he has the equipment and the foundation now to be successful out there, and you got to lean on that right now because, you know, defense, you know, different but similar to hitting, it can be a little bit, you know, mental. You've got to and defense isn't about, you know, you got to catch them all or else it's a story. So right. It's really leaning into his work, really continuing to lean into his routine. And then hopefully as the season goes, he just continues to build that confidence, knowing that he certainly has the equipment to get it done.
I always thought Mark Teixeira helped out Derek Jeter late in his career when he came over because he was so damn good defensively. How many errors did he save? And it's not a knock on Jay Bruce because first base, while he's played, it is still not his true position. Is there a thought on what you can do defensively? DJ looks good whenever he's over there at first base, that maybe can help out Glaber and infield defense in general, because when you got a first baseman scooping everything, think about the errors that are saved. So what are your thoughts on that defensively at first base?
Yeah, I mean, look, anytime you can have an experienced, really good defender over there at first, obviously that's an asset and that's a big thing. I would say overall, I feel like Jay has played the position early on very well. Glaber's first error of the season was actually a throwing error where he was in the hole and actually made a good play in the backhand and actually made a good throw. And I think, you know, Jay probably could have made the play for him. And, you know, but last night, that throw where it's kind of that in-between hop, that's kind of a do-or-die play.
Right.
Even for the most experienced of first basemen. So I feel like overall, early going here, Jay Bruce has handled himself pretty well at first.
Well, I think this is related, but you can explain it. The Odor trade that you guys made, I figured when you made the deal, because it took a lot of fans by surprise, like, what are they going to do with Odor? What's the plan for him? My thought was, oh, maybe he plays a lot of second, DJ goes to first base, or is there a different plan maybe you have in mind for Odor?
Well, you know, I think we'll see. I mean, first of all, he's got to go still through intake and stuff, so I'm not even sure when he's going to be with us, you know, or where exactly he is at physically. I know he's been, you know, doing baseball activity still every day since he was DFA'd. But I think the biggest thing was we saw a chance to get a very talented player at 27 years of age with a couple of years of control for essentially no money. You know, it didn't cost us anything. It didn't cost us, you know, even we did have to give up a couple prospects, but it wasn't, you know, any of our, you know, real premium prospects or anything like that. So it was a chance on a guy with some real upside, with some defensive versatility, played some third base in spring training that, you know, maybe in the middle of his career, you know, we can unlock some things for him that, you know, help him get back to, you know, really an impact player there for his first couple of years in Texas. So it's just a chance to add depth to our roster. It's a long season. A lot of things can happen. And I think it was a chance to just get a player with some real upside potential and a little bit of versatility as well.
Talking to Aaron Boone as we do every week throughout the baseball season. I tell you what, with all the negative stuff out there, there's a lot of positive. Your bullpen has been ridiculously good. And Jameson yesterday in his first start for the New York Yankees, two solo home runs. So what? 7 strikeouts, no walks. And I would think you guys got to be giddy over how well he pitched.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, just excited for J-Mo. I mean, just getting to be around him. You know, he came in with a lot of, great reports about just the quality of the person. He's certainly been that, but he's also, I feel like thrown the ball really well, really since the start of spring training. And after not being out there for, I think it was 700 something days, I thought he pitched really well last night, and used his fastball really well. That 93, 94 is really playing up now. He's using it up at the top of the zone, and that's helping set up his breaking pitches, which I thought he threw a lot of really good ones last night. So to get out there in his first outing, I think he got up to 74 pitches. We'll continue to build from here. Really excited about where he's at in kind of his return. And the bullpen's been great. It's good to see them, especially some guys that, we're hopeful of, we're counting on to kind of take the next step in their development, especially with having Zach Britton down right now. It's an opportunity for some guys to really step up, and we've seen that across the board, whether it's Loaisiga, whether it's Nick Nelson, Mike King, obviously, who we've sent down, but really pitched great in relief the other day, giving us six strong innings. And I feel like Greeny and O'Day and Chappie are all throwing the ball really well. So excited about the start for our pitching staff, no question.
What is the thinking behind Aaron Hicks batting third?
Haven't we had this conversation?
Yes. I know. I this is something I've asked many times, but I think it's probably the number one thing that Yankee fan, besides like being worried about injuries, I think that's the biggest thing that annoys Yankee fans.
This is what I tell a lot of people.
Go ahead.
I get asked this question a lot of people. I would say to you, first and foremost, it's a scoring competition, not a hitting competition.
Right.
Okay? So the fact of the matter is I believe if Aaron Hicks goes out there in a full season this year, he's going to get on base 37, 38, 36, 39% of the time. And in our lineup, which is a little unique, that we're very, right-handed heavy, to have a lefty, obviously to split up our best of hitters, I really value having good hitters, especially on our team, in that 4-5-6 hole, because DJ is going to get on at a high clip, Aaron Judge is going to get on at a high clip, Aaron Hicks is going to get on at a high clip, and they all, to varying degrees, also hit with some power. There's going to be traffic for the middle of our lineup throughout the game. And so, look, things change throughout the course of the year, and things happen that you switch things up from time to time. But when we're rolling and we're going at our best, he's an on-base machine with some power that, in a unique scenario with a lot of right-handed hitters, gives us a little bit of balance in our lineup.
You were about to say something. I'm curious. Were you about to say that a lot of people in your personal life ask you that question, too? Like, when you're at the deli, people say, Booty, why the hell is Hicks hitting third? Is that what you were getting at?
Nah, not so much that. But I just I get a lot of questions about the construction. But I get it. And, I would just say, I think it makes a lot of sense. And especially when I think Aaron Hicks gets it rolling here and he's getting on like an on-base machine and hitting for some power.
Go ahead. Here's my follow-up to that, because look, I understand Aaron Hicks doesn't hit for a high average, which I think to some fans is still something to get past. He's a high on-base guy. His OPS is usually high. And this is a predominantly right-handed team and he's a switch hitter. In general, and this isn't just for Aaron Hicks, because Craig asked me this question as a fan, and I kind of went with a month, but I'm curious as a manager, at what point do you start to look at trends and say, I'm going to drop Aaron Hicks or somebody else, or I'm going to move this guy up? Obviously, it's only been six games. I get that. But where's that watermark for you where you say, this guy's not having a great year, I'm going to make some changes in where guys are hitting?
Yeah, I don't know if there is that watermark. I think the season will tell you that, and those things will tell you that. But I'll do some different things probably with Aaron when we're facing some left-handed pitching and we have all our guys in there. That's when I might juggle it up. But usually against righties, I'm going to keep it this way and look forward to Hicksy getting it going for us, in a big way.
I did like the aggressiveness of Phil Nevin. Obviously, Tauchman's got wheels. He's not everybody does, though. But I think Yankee fans liked it. I don't think he had a choice either in those two situations. No. But listen, you know, and the right fielder does make a perfect throw to the plate. You know, that's, you know, and you don't have the fastest guy running home, but you got to send him there. So I thought Nevin actually did the right thing on both. I really did.
Yeah, I think it was a great send with Talkman and a great job by him of really being airtight in his turns. You know, Wader did a great job of scoring later in the game. And then, I think you got to send them in that spot and force them to execute a perfect throw, obviously, especially with it being two outs there. You got to take your shot in that spot.
I want you to answer this question as a manager, not baseball analyst or even former player, because I have I don't know if we have a different opinion, but I have an opinion as a baseball fan, which I think is the majority opinion, which is that this extra inning rule is a disgrace to the sport. Okay, it's just my opinion. I understand why, I guess, managers may like it. There's a better chance of not using 55 pitchers in a 17-inning game. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the rule as a manager?
As a man? Yeah, I'm okay with it. And it was one of those rules that initially I was like, what the heck? And I did not, you know, I didn't think I was going to like it at all. I feel like in the regular season, it's a pretty good thing. You know, obviously it's bitten us now twice in this first week. We've lost two games that way, but, you know, I think we're prepared for that. We know what to expect. And hopefully over the course of a long season, hopefully, you know, it'll be something that we turn the tables on and will benefit us. But I actually don't mind it because I do think, you know, it leads to, you know, it can lead to everything from, you know, possibly more injuries to guys having to go to the minor leagues that don't necessarily deserve it because you need to create stuff. So, I'm okay with it in the regular season.
And both you guys bunted last night too. You don't see that in a regular game. And I would think it's easier to bunt if you're the road team in the top of the 10th than if you're the home team in the bottom down a run. But I thought it was interesting that you had Gardner bunt and played it that way, which I liked. Yeah. I keep telling Evan I'd lay down a bunt. Am I, you know, obviously not if it's Aaron Judge, but I think the bunt comes into play a lot because of that.
I actually think the bunt comes more into play with the home team.
If it's tied.
If you hold them.
Yes.
Then it opens up the landscape of guys that I would be willing to bunt with.
Yes.
You know, outside of like Judge and Stanton but you know, last night it was actually, I was debating it. You know, once they scored, obviously I know Gardy's leading off the inning. So I was kind of talking through it with Mendy and Phil on the bench there, like how we wanted to go. And we just figured once they brought in the lefty there, I just thought, hey, let's try and hang with him and outlast him here. And, you know, he executed a good bunt and, you know, unfortunately it didn't work, but I wouldn't always do it in that situation. And if there was a right-handed pitcher up against him or maybe a little matchup that we liked a little bit better, I would absolutely have him swing him because chances are if he puts the ball in play, it might be to the pull side anyway. And we're going to move that runner and not take the bat out of his hand, especially with DJ and Glaber coming up behind him.
Yeah. DJ coming up makes it. I thought it was the right move, even though it didn't work out. Now, as a fan, admit this to me, Aaron, because every answer you gave was as a manager. And I get it. Injuries, the game going too long, that's fine. As a baseball fan, as a guy
you're asking me as a fan.
Yeah, because I want both answers.
He wants you to role play because it's his wife's birthday tomorrow, and you know,
yeah,
he just wants.
I'm good with it in the regular season.
Even as a baseball fan, you think this circus act is good? Ugh.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
All right,
okay
I listen. We disagree. I respect.
How about 7-inning doubleheaders? You like that one or no?
7-inning.
Let's have a 7-inning doubleheader first.
That's right. Yeah. Well, listen, right. We appreciate your time as always. It's not like the Yanks are 0-6. You know, you won a series. Everyone always says win as many series as you can, and the record takes care of itself. As of when do you think you'll let Yankee fans know or announce if Judge is playing tomorrow night?
Well, we have a day game. It's opening day's day game tomorrow. So, you know, it'll probably be something that we talk through tonight once I talk with trainers and Aaron and see where we are in the morning with how we want to go.
Yeah, I should mention 3 o'clock tomorrow. Evan and I go from 2 to 2:30, and then we'll turn it over to John and Susan. Well, we'll be watching, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Stay well, and appreciate your time as always, Aaron.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank
Good talking to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.